So this is part two of Rebecca Rayson and Kay Sidebottom professional discussion. So you were just talking about some of your students' experiences of education and how that's affected them in the classroom.
And I think I had to, doing this project, I had to really think about my age and my experience. I've not been in the game that long, probably 3 years in this industry. So I haven't done mainstream school, but I understand the pressures that they will have faced in mainstream school with the disadvantaged backgrounds that they're coming from. And I'll, majority, I don't want to say all because I don't want to stereotype all, but the majority of my learners, their parents don't work, so they're already coming at this with an angle of negativity and, well, I don't want to do it and I don't have to do it. There's another tutor that I work with who's older than me, she's in her late 50s, and they automatically respect her, but again, without being, I don't want to be rude, but she says it herself, do they see her as more of a grandparent figure and they've already got that respect, whereas with me, sometimes I find I have to be really honest with them. I'm strict, but to a degree, because my age doesn't fare well with them because they see me as parent figure or authority, which doesn't work well with this type of learner.
Sure.
And I've had to learn by error previously by going in thinking this is how I want my classroom to run. And the reason that I've used what I have in this project is because prior, when I've tried to kind of be confident in who I am in my teaching and what I'm delivering, I've done a lot of errors myself where kids have kicked off because I've been too strict, and that's had a knock-on effect. So I've had to think, well, this isn't working.
Yeah.
Me saying, well, you have to be in at this time and these are the breaks that you're following and this is what we're doing hasn't worked. Yeah. So something had to change.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's brilliant. It's making me think as well about, I don't know if you come across Daniel Pink's motivation theory, but he talks about the three aspects of autonomy, mastery and purpose. And again, you know, it's all about intrinsic motivation, but I think there's links to be made between the extrinsic motivators that you've worked with the group to develop, because it is about choice, that, you know, choice is in there. There's an explanation about, you know, the end game and outcomes and all that sort of stuff. And there's a chance for them to, I think, work, what's coming through is working more together as a community to sort of then get mastery of the subjects.
Yeah.
So it's kind of pulling all those things together. So did it surprise you then that it worked in the way it did?
Yeah, it did. It didn't, because I suppose I've been kind of doing this without thinking for a while. It's been something that I've, before I even started my BA, that I knew that something had to change in the classrooms. In the centre that I work at, they do have a code of conduct and they have to sign like a behavioural contract at the beginning, pre and post 16. And I don't believe that that works, because it proves with the pre, I don't teach the pre-16s, but it is proven with the pre-16s that they know, for them, it doesn't matter that the choices that they make, because three strikes doesn't mean that they're out, because it means money for the company.
Sure.
So, and I think that they're very quick to get on that. They understand that. They, without you telling them, they know. So with my learners, I didn't feel that the strikes were going to work and something else needed to happen. And it has surprised me that they want to be engaged into it. They want to do it. But very positive, the whole outcome. And they even ask now, oh, you know, are you doing your assignment? They know I'm at university, they know I'm still young, which I thought at the beginning, this might not work in my favour, them knowing that I'm still at university. Does it work or does it not for them?
Mm.
And although they think, oh, well, I'll never do university, because a lot of them have said that, I've had to explain, well, do you know what? I went to university at 19 and had to quit because it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And this is where you get older and you learn and you make choices. But I make it very clear, if the behaviour is poor for the environment, of the learning environment, that is the choice that they're making, which makes them sometimes think, right, okay, do I want to continue and know I'm going to get a consequence, or do I need to pull it in for the group?
Sure. And I think something there about empathy, isn't there? So that you can, by sharing that about yourself, they, you know, you can build empathy between you and them, and also respect, I guess, because you're making yourself human as well.
Yeah, and they say that there's not that much. I think they come through the door initially thinking, well, do you know what? My parents and grandparents and me, we're never going to do anything for whatever reason. And then they come in and they kind of see us as the enemy.
Mm.
Well, you're making us do this. And I think for me to be really honest with them and say, do you know what? Education isn't for everybody. And I've been very honest with the jobs that I've done in hospitality for all those years before I decided I wanted to be a teacher. They've kind of gone, oh yeah, so it's not too late, it doesn't matter, because Bex didn't decide until 26 that she wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
For me personally, that has worked. I don't know whether that'd work in every situation, but for me, the learners kind of think, right, there's not that far a gap.
Yes,
in
yes.
age or otherwise.
Absolutely, and that all links back to that idea of purpose, doesn't it, and
yeah.
aspiration and all those sorts of things as motivators, I guess. So, okay, so what are you going to do as a result of this? Is this something that you're going to shape into something that you can share with colleagues? Are you going to do it more in your own practice?
I think for my plan, I've got another group starting in about 3 weeks' time, and I think that will kind of be the proof. I think before I roll it out, I would love to roll it out now, but there is other people within my establishment that don't think that this should work or could work, and they don't really want to change.
Sure.
They're okay with their learning environment. And that's something that my learners have had to kind of get too used to, because my learners are not just taught by me.
Right.
There's two of us. So they have to get used to very different learning environments. But that, again, has worked so positive. For the future, I would really like to trial it with my second group first and foremost, to see if there's any difference between group A that I've got now
sure.
and then the next group B. I think if it works as well as it has with these, with a couple of teething problems, because I know that there's things that I'd like to change. When I was at last week when we did the presentations, there were so many people that used motivation and behaviour that there's people that I would really like to look into to kind of adapt it a bit more. But I think for the definite next step is to just do as I've done with group B.
Yeah.
Document the findings that I find with that one. And then I think I need to compare, and because they're going to be a very different group.
Yeah.
With behaviour, with background. I think once I've got two that I can clearly see, I think that's easy for me to then go and say, right, this is working or this isn't working.
Yeah, yeah.
After the second group, I would like to look at other things and kind of implement maybe doing Skinner's model for the first 4 weeks as a buy-in,
mm-hmm.
but then getting them to understand that it's all about how they communicate and make their own choices, because they can, for me to kind of bring in other things,
yeah,
other key elements.
And I think you're right in what you're saying, is that, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all, is it? Because groups, dynamics between individuals in groups aren't the same, you know.
Yeah.
And that's, I like the sort of flexibility of this kind of model, because it has that acknowledgement in there that, you know, there might be differences and there might need to be tweaks to the way you approach
yeah.
it every time.
And I can't, although, like I said, that wasn't the model I wanted to choose. It proves that conditioning does work. It is working, because they now are choosing the behaviour. They know that it's unacceptable to throw things and to swear, that it's unacceptable to be 20 minutes late. There has to be a consequence.
Yes.
But I don't get so much of that now, so maybe now that's time to pull back and use other things. So use their knowledge as the reward. Right, well, we've done this, what do you want to learn
yeah.
now? And then that's kind of a choice that's their buy-in,
yes.
rather than me saying, right, okay, have 10 minutes on your phone, which I still think is important, because phones are their life at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah,
in this day
yeah,
age,
yeah.
We've got to kind of grasp that as well, 21st century learning, and think, right, well, bring that in as well. Let's do something with that. So
yeah.
I think it needs tweaking, but definitely two groups, compare, tweak, move on, and try and get out as much as I can. The only problem with that is we've been put up for redundancy again for the second time in four
yeah.
months. So with the others, it might be something that I have to take to another company, which is, again, is fine. But once I think, if I've got two groups, it's easier to prove
yes.
my evidence than it is with just the one.
Yes,
whether it's
absolutely.
Where I am or elsewhere.
And that gives you the chance to sort of synthesise your ideas, doesn't it? And,
yeah.
Because I think often with sort of behaviour management kind of stuff, people will try one thing and then, if it doesn't work, completely ditch it and then move on very quickly. And you can't always, sometimes you need a bit of longevity in there to see actually what
yeah.
things are working. And like you say, that comparison idea is really good.
And I do think time will tell, because the more groups I can use this initial model with, the more I'm going to have to be able to think that what needs changing and why.
Yes.
And it might need changing for every group, which would be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's great stuff to share, actually, share really widely. We'll have to think of some ways that we can do that, but there's some brilliant ideas in here, I think, that would be worth trying to take out, you know,
yeah.
bit wider than our own organisations and
yeah.
our own course. So that's really positive. Thank you very much.
Thank you.